Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Adam McCalvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. We haven't heard his voice in almost a month. And Adam, it was one heck of a run for the Washington Nationals as it ends last night. And they win in Game 7 of the World Series when they were four outs away from being bounced by the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, and my question, maybe you guys have been talking about this all afternoon, so tell me if you have. Does that make you feel better or worse?
I don't know. I don't think it makes me feel better. And some we pose the question of, like, does the Nationals doing this out of the wild card give you hope? And, I mean, with the payrolls being so starkly different, that might not give you hope. But to get back into that situation and know that it is still the hottest team can go out and win it, it makes me feel a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah, the thing that I'm interested to see is whether this has an impact on the way GMs think about building teams. I think it's probably an overreaction to say, like, you need great starting pitching to win the World Series because the Nationals and Astros got to a Game 7 with great starting pitching. I think that's just the nature of the way this matchup went this year. And I'm not certain that it's the only way to do it. Like, I'm not certain that David Stearns is all of a sudden going to go out and invest $500 million on three starters like the Washington Nationals had invested in Scherzer, Strasburg, and Patrick Corbin. But it is interesting that it shows that you can still do it the old-fashioned way. This was a team with great starting pitching, and it was the oldest team in baseball. So it shows you that having that sort of slow heartbeat of a veteran who's been there in a lot of different situations can produce a good result. But I think people who are saying, jumping to the conclusion that that's the way you have to do it are, I don't know if that's correct. And I definitely don't think it's going to spawn like wholesale changes in the way that David Stearns builds next year's Brewers team.
No, I could not agree more. I don't think they're going to go out and try to spend all this money and redo how they're doing business, and especially because of how the starting pitching went. And in the same vein, Adam, their version of a Josh Hader, Will Harris, had been so locked down at any point in time when they would go get him, similar to how the Brewers used Hader in 2018 is how I felt of it. And it's the way the ball bounces, Howie Kendrick just sneaks it in, pokes it off the foul pole, and that game is completely different, and it's a totally different narrative. Otherwise, we're talking about maybe a new dynasty, two out of three for the Houston Astros.
Well, yeah, and it shows me two things. It reminds you, I think, of how small the margins are in baseball, and in sports, right? I mean, in the Super Bowl, a quarterback slips in a pass over the fingertips of a cornerback, and it's a game-changing touchdown. The margins in this stuff is so small when it gets into, especially like a one-game winner-take-all situation. And the other thing, you know, GMs will tell you this, managers, players who have been in situations like this, they say it all the time, and I think sometimes you need to be reminded, it is so hard to win a championship.
It is
just really, really hard. And look, you guys know, who have played, you know, played the game at the highest level. In any sport, it takes luck, it takes right place, right time, it takes talent and being good, it takes that slow heartbeat. All of those things have to come together exactly right. And if you think you know the way that things are going to play out, a third of the way through, or at the middle of the season, or at the start of a playoff, you're wrong. Because you don't. Because there's this. Add this to the long list of examples of things that seem so improbable, and yet the Washington Nationals are planning a parade.
Right. We just had one of our interns here is a huge Washington Nationals fan, and he's from that area. And I asked him, I says, but how long has this process been going on? He says, well, since about 2012. And then he went back and named all the times they got knocked off and didn't even win a playoff series and all that kind of stuff. And it was a perpetual buildup to where they are right now. And the reason why I'm saying that, I don't know if Brewers fans understand that that's where they're trying to get. I mean, they're trying to get, you know, stack this thing up, get there, one day knock the door down.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's what you try to do. If you are David Stearns and Craig Counsell and Mark Attanasio, you try to build a club that consistently has a chance. And, you know, three times in the 2010s, they gave themselves a chance. It should have been four, because that 2014 team just utterly collapsed. You know, so, but three postseason appearances in a decade is, that's the first time they've done it as a franchise. Mm-hmm. They gave themselves a chance to win. And I would say more consistently over the last 15 years, the Brewers have given themselves an opportunity to play meaningful baseball in September, number one, which was not always the case around here. People who have been around remember all those years where it was over by the end of August. And then you try to get hot at the right time. And the Brewers were hot at the right time, and they were four outs away, and their best pitcher had a bad day. And that's where we get back to this thing about small margins. And I used to say to Doug Melvin, you know, his livelihood, the way he's judged by an entire community hinges on these performances of human beings that vary from day to day, just like all of us. And I used to say to Doug Melvin, I mean, that must drive you crazy to spend all the time planning, put all the resources and effort into building a club. And then to some degree, it's kind of out of your hands because it's in the hands of these athletes. But that's just the nature of sports. I would think it's really difficult, and it can be really frustrating. But the beauty of the thing is, you come back next year. I mean, it's in baseball more than any other sport, because of the seasons. You come back with hope the next spring, and you try to make it happen again. And I think the Brewers will come back next spring with hope. Although it's going to be a different kind of off season this year, I believe. Where last season that club came back very largely intact. This year, just by the nature of who their free agents are, where they're at with a player like Travis Shaw in arbitration, they're poised to have more changes this year to next year than they were last year at this time. And I think there's a lot of different ways they can go. And the only thing I can tell you for sure is that David Stearns is going to surprise us with some stuff, because there hasn't been an offseason yet in his tenure where we can look at it on paper and say they need this, this, and this. And he goes out and gets that, and that. He goes out and gets something that you don't expect, and the offseason takes a turn that you didn't see coming. And I guarantee you that's going to happen again. And I don't know whether that is spending on a starter we don't anticipate them spending on, coming up with something creative on the infield to fill the holes they have there. I can't tell you what it is. I can just tell you that they're going to do some things that none of us, no matter how close we were watching, saw coming.
Joining us now is our Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McAlvey, on the Wendy's Big Show.
Well, let's pick up on that a little bit. I mean, we're in here having a conversation about Yasmani Grandal and Moose. Because I know he got his buyout to be a free agent. If you had a chance, which guy would you bring back? And to me, I don't know if they have another catcher. I mean, maybe they'll go out and try to find another catcher. But with that kind of production, you had to have known he was going to opt out. So yep. I think if it was me, I'd like to have Grandal back, but I don't know if he's coming back.
Yeah, Grandal and Moustakas are both going to opt out. You know, I saw Scott Boras in L.A. during the division series, and he's going to try again in free agency and see what's out there. Two things. One, for both of those players, they're going to be 31 next year, and the one thing we've seen in baseball is – this tendency towards younger and younger and younger talent. We'll see again whether the Washington Nationals, being the most gray-haired team in the sport, winning it all changes that outlook at all. But that's one thing working against them. Working for them is that both were all-stars, fantastic seasons. Moustakas had his second-best power season of his career. And Grandal is just extremely valuable in terms of getting on base. There's just not catchers that are as well-rounded as him in terms of being an offensive producer and an on-base guy, and then handling a staff, the framing, all the things that add up to his great WAR. Second best wins above replacement to JT Realmuto in Major League Baseball among the regular catchers. So, you know, if it's me and I have to pick one or the other, I think because he's just so rare, I go for Grandal. But look, that's easier said than done because he turned down the report last year, was $460 million from the Mets, and then landed back with the Brewers on that 1 year deal because he just couldn't get the deal he wanted. Now he had another great year. He remains this rare commodity that there's just not a lot of. Teams saw what the Brewers did with the pitching staff they have on paper, getting to a National League wild card game, and Grandal gets some of the credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that helps his market. So the question is going to be, is there a team out there that's able to give him the sort of deal that he wants as a 31-year-old catcher, which is certainly a risk. If he doesn't, again, get the deal he wants, I think there's a chance he comes back to Milwaukee. But is Milwaukee going to be the team that gives him 5-80 or something like that? I have a hard time seeing that based on the other mm-hmm. needs that they have, the economics of the game that everyone's tired of hearing about. And just that they need to spend some money on pitching, probably.
Right.
That's going to be a priority this offseason, too. So
they're not going to do bullpen by committee no more? Is that over?
Well, no, but I don't think I would say that.
Okay.
You know, look, one of the things I think is a misunderstood about Craig Counsell is that he doesn't like to let starters go deep into games. If Max Scherzer pitched in a Brewers uniform, mm-hmm. Craig Counsell will let him pitch as far into the game as it makes sense. And he's not going to pull a guy just to pull a guy. But, you know, the results, I think, sort of speak for themselves in terms of the way the Brewers got the most out of the pitching that they had, doing it the way they did, kind of bullpenning things in September and in the postseason when the schedule and the numbers allowed it. But, you know, they're going to need to develop some Max Scherzer types guys.
Yes, and they don't have it.
They're trying very, very hard to do it. And Brandon Woodruff got a real shot to be a guy like that. I said, probably you guys are tired of me saying this. I think Corbin Burns can be that guy. The stuff with Corbin Burns is off the charts. It's ace stuff. The results are certainly not. But mm-hmm. this is a young player in the game trying to figure out how to maximize, you know, what he's got in his arsenal.
Right.
And Max Scherzer went through that.
Ace stuff.
Tom Glavine went through that. You know,
How long did they go through it?
Well, that is the really hard part. And how patient are you willing to be? This is not we are not in an era where patience is in great supply. People spend a lot of money to go to these baseball games and buy T-shirts and hot dogs and beers, and they want results now. And, you know, it's not a game, at least for the pitchers largely, that it happens that way. It takes time, and everybody's on this different timetable. You know, Steven Strasburg came into the league and was great right away, but he was like a once-in-a-generation type talent.
Right, he was one of the highest-rated prospect pitchers of all time, from what I can remember.
And I think people see that, and they see Walker Buehler, and they see, you know, they see certain pitchers, Jose Fernandez in his prime, come into mm-hmm. baseball and dominate from the start, and they say, well, why don't our guys do that? It's because pitching is weird and hard and, you know, this ethereal thing where some guys get it right away, some guys it takes a long time, and some guys just never get it. And knowing where a player is in that spectrum and when is time enough and it's time to move on, you know, I'm not smart enough to know those answers, or I would certainly not be writing about the game. I would be making the big bucks in the game. But it's a really hard thing. But you know, look, I think Brandon Woodruff is one example recently where if you're patient with a guy and sort of, you know, he gets a taste here and there, his role increases, he earns a higher leverage spots. Now he's starting for you, and now he's starting to look pretty good. It certainly didn't happen overnight for Brandon Woodruff. I mean, he's
no
been
doubt.
Up and down for, what, 3 years now?
Yep.
But next year is going to be a season where they're really going to count on him to take another step, be healthy all season, and lead the staff, because you do need guys like that. And, you know, next year, no more 40-man roster in September. So they're going to need
some
starting pitchers, and he's got to be good, because they need to spend some resources elsewhere to fill some holes on the roster.
Adam, any chance that there's a different starting shortstop day in and day out this upcoming season?
I would say there's a chance. I mean, it's hard to say it's a lock. We did a way too ridiculously, stupidly early projection of what the opening day roster might look like. That is, I don't know if it's up now, but it's coming
soon
or next week.
Love it.
And, you know, it goes kind of position by position, who we think are the locks, and then possibilities past that. And I couldn't put Orlando Arcia as a lock. He's arbitration eligible.
Mm-hmm.
He took a step back defensively this season. Offensively, it's not happened the way that the Brewers thought when they brought him up in 2016 it would happen. So, you know, I don't think you can pencil him in as a lock. But again, they have to figure out third base. They have to figure out catcher. They have to figure out starting pitching. They have to figure out bullpen spots like all teams do at this time of year. They've got priorities that may dictate sticking with Orlando Arcia at that position, and then maybe trying to come up with somebody behind him that can push him a little bit, and you know, put your resources at other positions.
What about Trent Grisham?
Trent Grisham is a really good baseball player who had one really bad moment on a ball that was spinning like crazy. And he was trying to make a play in a huge moment. I think he proved this season that he's a big league player. Ryan Braun next year is going into his final guaranteed year. I think that's going to be one of the big storylines kind of going into next year, is the end of that era.
No doubt.
And Grisham is going to have a really good chance to be right behind Ryan Braun, who's going to, again, get those days off, maybe see some first base, although how many years have we been saying that? Just, you know, the way Eric Thames coming back as a lefty, Ryan Braun is a righty, it would make sense, but I'll believe it when I see it. So there's going to be opportunities in the outfield for Grisham, and he's got a chance now to kind of be the heir apparent, and he's moved past some of the other guys who they've had out there. You know, Brett Phillips was there for a while. Corey Ray is still in the organization, but, you know, he's going to face a really important season next year. So Grisham has kind of taken a step past those other players, and I think he's going to figure, you know, pretty heavily into their plans. If you look at it, their outfield is a strength.
No doubt about it is. Yep.
So that's one area where they're pretty good, but they've got some questions to answer elsewhere.
And
look, all clubs do it this time of year.
No doubt about it. That's what makes the offseason so much fun. Winter meetings will be within a month and a half or so. Now, Adam, let's get into the real stuff here quickly before we get off here. What's going on with this new logo, man?
Yeah, look, I'm as curious as you guys are. When teams make logo changes, they always leak, because think about all the vendors involved when something like this happens. They've got to replace all the printing at the ballpark. They got to print new T-shirts, new baseball cards, as we learned this week. So many people outside of the walls of the organization see that thing before it's able to get unveiled, and that's why it very often leaks. So I am waiting with bated breath, just like you guys. But look, you guys, any Brewers fan has heard rumors of something changing. And I would say with next year being the 50th anniversary of the move to Milwaukee,
yep,
it's sort of, you know, the timeline is logical. It always surprises me how many years it takes for a team to do this. You tweak one little line in your logo and you think no big deal. You make the change and that's it. But it's like a years-long process with Major League Baseball when teams
crazy
change their marks like that. So, mm-hmm, you know, this one has been talked about for so long.
I know what it is. I haven't leaked it.
Well, you know,
I haven't told anybody.
That one that got leaked, at first it was like, you wrinkle your nose, because that logo is so good. And if
right,
the one that got leaked,
amazing.
Is, I don't. It, the one that got leaked, if that's what it is, it's kind of grown on me the last couple of days. It's a little more vertical. And I don't know. I like it. It's like
I like the ball and glove, and I've always been a sucker for it as somebody that didn't grow up with it. I think it's the best logo that you could possibly have, and you adjust it a little bit. You tweak it a little bit, you freshen it up, you make it a little, like you said, a little bit more vertical. It's maybe not as cartoony. I think it's great. I think it'll work out well, and it'll sell a bunch, and especially because I went at the 50% off, and I tried to get everything that looked somewhat like that.
And look, that's part of it. They all, folks always want to make a little bit of money. They'll want to entice people to, you know, they got to make it just different enough that people are going to want to buy a new cap.
No doubt about it.
But it still keeps the spirit of one of the greatest logos in sports. And, you know, when you introduce something new like this, of course, there's going to be a lot of noise about people hating it. And then a couple of weeks go by and it just becomes the new thing, and it's not that big of a deal anymore. I think we're going to go through that with the
for sure we will
stadium too.
Oh yeah,
that comes out because that, you know, it's Miller Park in 2020.
Still. I still don't like that they got to change it, Adam. I still don't like it. I want it to be the keg.
That
wouldn't it be bats because you hit a lot of home runs
and have a good time.
That's true, and it's always a good time when we get to talk to you, Adam.
Thanks
man.
Adam.
This has been fun. We'll talk well before On Deck, and soon enough, it will be warm enough for us to get down to Arizona, even though it's
Where
snowing
is
right now.
Pitches and catches reporting. Do we know that yet?
Middle of February?
We do, but someone would have to Google it quick.
Somewhere. Okay.
You know,
right.
When people ask me this, I always say around Valentine's Day, then you're covered. It's always middle of February.
That's perfect. That's why he is one of the smartest guys, isn't he?
Hey, did we go out to dinner with Adam McAlvey last year or anything, or no?
In spring training?
Yeah. Did we?
I don't know.
No, I think
we have to do that. Use some of that some of your good expense account.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Leroy's coming with us this year. So
confirmed.
Adam,
so you know that's Mr. Daddy Loan Bucks right there, Leroy Butler,
bro.
Hall of Famer. You know,
but
so I think we're gonna have a cookout at the house, and so I think Adam, you and what's the other guy named the guy's in trouble?
Vasalis?
No, you're talking about Todd Rosiak.
Yeah, maybe Todd Todd Rosiak could come over.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, what's the other guy named?
I hope he got
Hardicourt.
Yeah, Hardicourt.
Tom Hardicourt.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, hey, I'm down. And if we go to dinner, we could go someplace nice like Jack and Bob.
No. We're not even doing that. We just going to grill out at the house.
Well done, meat, though.
Yeah, we're
well
just going to grill
meat,
out.
Well done, Adam.
All right, Adam. Take it easy, man. Have a good holiday.
See you guys.
Yeah. See you later, man.
I like that guy.
He loves Halloween too. Yeah, so I mean, because he likes all that melted candy
and
stuff.
Candy in the microwave. Right.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I can't do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.